So as you know, this past month, Deacon Charles and I have been preaching on the theme entitled "That We Are on a Mission." That we are on a mission from God. This theme is posted on some of the windows of the doors as we enter the church. It's on our TV monitor, and it's in our bulletin as well. So what does it mean? What are we meaning when we say that we are on a mission from God? Well, it refers to the idea that once we're baptized, we become part of God's family. And just as any child in a family, as they grow up, are required to take on responsibilities and duties in the family, so we, after we're baptized, eventually are called to take up responsibilities and duties in the family of God. Another way of looking at it is that once we're baptized, we're united to Christ. But we're united not only to his life, his morals and spirituality, but also to his mission. So we're called to share in his mission. So it means that every baptized Catholic is called to become a missionary. And it means that every parish is called to become an evangelizing parish. Now, I know to some of us that might be news. Maybe you've never heard of that before. You may be thinking to yourself, well, Father, to be a missionary, me? I thought that was a job for nuns and priests. If you think that way, I think probably it's because the church has not done a very good job in handing on the faith in the last 50 or 60 years. Because the idea to be an evangelizer and a missionary for each and every person called to be part of God's family, that's something as old as Scripture itself. And we see that today, that theme in the Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah. Today we hear how it says, "The Lord said, you Israel are my servant." So God chose Israel to be a servant out of all the other nations in the world. Not because they were better, not because they merited it, not because they were somehow greater, but precisely the opposite. They were the smallest, the weakest, the most vulnerable, the least likely. So he chose them. But why did he choose them to be a servant? A servant, after all, has a job to do. So he goes on and says, "The Lord said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." And so they were chosen. The entire purpose for them being chosen was that they could be a vehicle to bring God's glory to the rest of the world. That they could be an instrument that God would work through to call the rest of the world into friendship with him. So they were called to evangelize. Now, Isaiah, who lived around 600 years before Jesus, he's actually not saying anything new to the people of Israel. Moses already said that to them about 800, 900 years before that. When Moses led the people of Israel into freedom, one of the instructions he gave them, last instructions he gave them was this. He said, "And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I'm about to teach you, just as the Lord God might commanded you. Obey them so that you may live. Also," he says, "obey them, and you will then display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all the decrees, they will exclaim, 'How wise and prudent are the people of this great nation. For what great nation has a God as near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and as fair?'" So by Israel's faith in God, by their correct worship of God, by their moral and spiritual splendor, by their unity and charity and integrity of life, they were called to then attract the other nations of the world to God, so that God could then bless them and share his glory with them as well. Now, as you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that unfortunately, Israel, instead of being an instrument to share God's glory with other people and convert the world, Israel became converted by the ways of the world and by the pagan peoples around them, and over again fell away from God. And so they were not able to be successful in evangelizing the nations. And that is always a danger, even in our day and age. But then when Jesus came, he fulfilled this Old Testament mandate in his own life. He went out to the lost house of Israel. He went out to preach the good news everywhere. He preached repentance. He invited people to come to be reconciled with God and into a right relationship with God. And then he called his followers to do the same. He said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So let your light shine means let your faith shine in the world. And then Jesus went on, before he ascended into heaven, his very last words to his apostles and to all his followers were, go now and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And so this call to be a missionary disciple of Jesus, to share the gospel, to share our faith with other people, the call to be an evangelizing parish, that's something as old as Scripture itself. It's a call that God the Father gave to the Israelite people back in the Old Testament. It's a call that Jesus gave to his disciples and followers, and it's a call that the church has said is valid for all time. And so it really is part of our DNA as Catholics. So there's a danger we need to avoid falling into, because if we say to ourselves, well, Father, I pray, I go to Mass on Sunday, and I live a decent life, and I'm working out my salvation, and that's enough. Well, that would be a trap. That would be, could be, betraying a real lack of love for God and love for our neighbor, a kind of spiritual indifference to those people, all those people in our world living still in darkness and who are far from God. So it's true, of course, we need to pray, come to Mass, live a good life, work out our salvation, but then it needs to go beyond that. God calls us and expects us to live our faith in the world openly and confidently and boldly. He calls us and expects us to share our faith with other people so that they will see something so attractive in us and in our lives that they will also want to come to know God for themselves. And so the first person who was who did this as a Christian, to share Jesus with others and encourage other people to accept him, was, of course, Mary. She did that for the wise men at the birth of Jesus. She did that for the shepherds. Later on, she did it for the apostles and for the early church. So let us daily ask Mary to help us to do these two things. One, to be faithful followers and friends of Jesus ourselves, but also, secondly, to look for ways, appropriate opportunities, to share our faith with family members, friends, and colleagues, and encourage them to open up their hearts to Christ. Only by doing both these things are we really fulfilling our vocation and calling that God gives us as baptized Catholics.